The Outdoor Line Young Guns. They're not just lucky, they're good and not old.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Line, 710-710, powered by Everroot Outboards. Got our Young Guns segment here, and one of our favorite young guns, a guy that's out there grinding them up, and boy, what a day to be out on the coast yesterday. Joseph Prinsen joins us now. Good morning, Mr. Prinsen. You pulled over and found a cell to talk to us this morning out there in hinterland there.
Yeah, I found a comfortable little spot in the side of 101 here with 4G network, and I'm good to go now.
Well, you got a tower out there somewhere. So we don't know where you're fishing. You haven't told us, but we know that you're somewhere in the middle of the Washington coast, in the middle of nowhere. And I can kind of triangulate and figure out where it is just by how many cell towers there are out there. There aren't many, I tell you that much. So, but you've been having some great luck out there the last couple of weeks on big, beautiful wild steelhead, all artificial lures, yarnies, worms, plugs, all that stuff. Can you run us through some of the gear you've been using, man, and how you've been stroking those fish?
Yeah, it's March 1st has come around the corner, and everything's going to switch to artificial pretty much in the state. Mm-hmm. Some rivers aren't, but running some new worms this year. I'm wacky rigging my worms, paddle forward, nose down. I really like the way those worms fish. I mean, you got a solid point coming to one pinnacle of a hook, so the fish hit that pinnacle and stick every single time. When guys rig their worms the other way around, sometimes you have too much of a tail, and they'll hit the tail and miss the hook. But I'm really
in the interest of clarity, we're talking about paddle tail worms.
And let's talk about wacky rigging a little bit,
right,
too, and describe that, because a lot of folks may not know what the heck wacky rigging is.
Well, yeah, you just take the nose of the worm and basically switch it around. So instead of rigging it nose forward, paddle down, you just take the nose and put it backwards to where the hook would be and the paddle up the leader, where it actually wiggles around a little bit. But you don't want too much paddle because the fish will actually hit that end of the worm instead of the hook point.
Are you fishing big worms? Are you running big 6-inchers, or are you running small worms, Joe?
I'm trying to buy the ones that float. I just seem that the ones that float seem to fish so much better than the ones that sink. Those big 6-inch ones sometimes you buy are just too big, and sometimes they hang up on the bottom too much. I'm using one hook because it's most of these rivers are one-hook rivers right now. Mm-hmm. It's called an owner mosquito hook, and what it is it doesn't have a big eye shank bend. The eye is actually forward like a sidewash, so the plane of the hook going onto the worm is all at one angle. It's all true, so the fish never miss. The important thing is I think these 4-inch worms are fishing really good. I buy these Berkeley Powerbait worms that float really, really good in the water column. Sticking a pink cheater between the nose of the worm and the hook, it just seems to really be a flawless way of catching fish.
So you must, you've kind of bobber dogging these things? Are you side drifting them? Are you drift fishing them? You must be banging bottom with them if you're looking for a floating worm. I used to fish a ton of worms, and you're right. If you go by the sinking worm or even the ones with neutral buoyancy, fall into the rocks.
You are a snagging son of a gun.
And they're a pain to rig, too. So, I mean, you got to make sure those things, if you are banging the bottom, they're floating up off the bottom. So I assume that's what you're doing, right?
Yeah, in my boat, if somebody's really snagging a lot, we call them snagatrons because they just all day long. But yeah, I'm using England stick lead, and at times I bobber dog, and if I'm bobber dogging right now, I'm 100% fluorocarbon, Bomax new clear drift floats, trying to be really stealthy in the water, even if it's glacial green. A lot of these southern rivers in our state right now are just gin clear summertime lows, and all those extra steps really pay off. But sometimes we're anchored in a deep hole, I'm side drifting. Sometimes when we're covering a lot of water, I'm bobber dogging. Kind of depends on what the river's really flowing at and how much I'm going to cover in the day.
Now, do you find that when the rivers get low and clear, do you switch away from the worms a little bit and maybe go to a yarny or a little more subtle presentation?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously jigs in gin clear water are just a go-to method. I mean, small 3-inch, 2-inch pink worm jigs, just small nightmare patterns. I mean, the go-to 1/8 ounce is probably the color and the
with those little what are they, Dr. Death quickfish and stuff, are you still running some of them?
Oh yeah, even my girlfriend has plug earrings now.
Oh.
You might want to keep her up. That's like a keeper to me.
That's a keeper for sure. I've been switching to the Brad's Wigglers in really low water, smaller plugs, less action. They stay down, and even in the boils, a lot of guys don't buy those plugs, so you're really able to get that color at the store. I mean, they have some deadly colors from Brad's. I'm really happy with their plugs so far. When the water comes up and gets dirty, I'm the K13 guy that's running the Dr. Death for sure. And Dr. Death sure is a good color. But There's nothing like a darker purple right now with a little hint of pink in it. I really like that combination in the gin clear water.
We're talking with Joseph Princes on the Outdoor Line Young Gun segment. Of course, you can jump on Facebook and do a quick search on Joseph Prince, and you'll see a pretty good-looking steelhead there. I got to say, that's a nice picture you got up there.
Take some sick photos, that's for sure.
But Joseph, when we get out of this weather pattern, and it looks like this little dry spell we've had is going to break come Tuesday, Wednesday, how's that going to change your game plan? Because it looks like the coast in particular is going to start getting rain. Maybe even by later tonight, and I'm just kind of wondering how that's going to change your game plan, particularly with regard to what you're going to be using. Are you still going to be able to get by with some subtle presentations, or are you going to have to step up the size of your gear a little bit?
Well, I really in dirty water, when that water comes up and it's on its first drop, I don't even use bait. I don't even use scent. I just go for the biggest yarn ball I got. I mean, I'm talking 50 cent size, and you can always trim a yarn ball down. You can never make them bigger, so always make them big and just fish something that's UV and something that's bright, because those fish in dirty water, they're already so clogged up with the sediments coming down the river, they can't even take time to smell. So whatever's in their face and big is what I'm using, and that's when I'll probably be using the 4-inch pink worm. But I think the go-to thing to use in dirty water, for me at least, in these artificial rivers, is just a big cerise yarn ball.
I don't know what it is about that's, and that's
especially
a hot,
with UV.
That's a hot pink.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, if you're using something close to that in just about any river, you know, that's, you're pretty close for steelhead.
Well, I mean, it's not some of that UV in there too. Steelhead Stalkers, they sent us a bunch of that UV of their new UV yarn, and boy, that stuff lights up like a Christmas tree. It's the next best thing to just having glow in the dark yarn. Eventually they may come up with something like that, but, you're right, man. Just a large profile, and cerise actually shows up a little better down there. It's actually a little darker, has a little better profile in dirty water.
Well, something else he said too is the use of a K13. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now the Lure Jensen Quickfish, generally considered by most folks to be a Chinook plug, okay. K13 is a smaller version of that, but Joseph, give me your thoughts on that particular plug, because it's way bigger than a lot of folks normally use, and some guys never fish them without a wrap, and I'm guessing, you know, with your discussion of scent right now, that you're not wrapping these things either.
Oh no, these come right out of my box. I mean, in particular, there's a couple coastal rivers in the middle of the state and in the southern end of the state that up high in the systems sometimes and the low in the systems, no matter where you are, in Forks, you can't put scent on some of the plugs March 1st.
Sure.
You just can't. So I'm taking these right out of my tackle box, and I'm putting them right in the water. If you take a plug and you hold it at a vertical angle looking at it backwards, it doesn't look as big as it does just sitting in a K13 box.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these fish see it from a different angle than we do. I mean, it's slanted and it's wiggling, and it kind of looks big, but it's not too big. They're native steelhead. I mean, that's what we're switching to, and they're so aggressive. I think they're one of the most aggressive things in our state. They'll hit anything they can. I've caught 6-pound steelhead on the K13.
I don't know. Nelly was pretty aggressive at the breakfast bar this morning.
He was
throwing elbows. A couple of the older guys in the PSA club flying across the deal there.
Do not get between me and my sausage in the morning, okay? Just stay away from
work.
That. But one of the things that I absolutely love about steelhead and Joseph and particularly with plugging is watching that rod go down. You can almost take a pretty good guess how big that fish is by how hard that rod goes down. I'm sure you've seen a couple rods buckled. Are you seeing the same strikes on those K13s as you are the your Brad's Wigglers, or is the strike on the Quickfish a little different?
Yeah, the strike on a Quickfish is like England's hook set. I mean, it's ready to break a rod.
Perfect.
It's pretty cool. Those Wigglers, as small as they are, I mean, if something's going to commit, it seems like they commit and they're ready to break that rod in the holder. I've seen the lazy hooks, the lazy takedowns a couple times in the last week, where that rod just starts to go, like, is that a rock? Am I digging my bill into a rock?
And
all of a sudden, womp, 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 and it's on.
It's funny, the little small hands do that because they've got a small, tiny little mouth,
yeah,
and they
yeah.
come up and they peck at it and stuff. And then the big fish can do that sometimes, too. They're just so big and lethargic. They come up and just grab your plug and slowly roll over with it, you know, and the rod slowly goes down, and bam, there's
your
fish.
Well, you're watching the rhythm of your rods,
oh,
you know, and
man.
All of a sudden one of them stops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And chewing on
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just stops digging.
Well, hey, you're going to have to send us some more photos of your shenanigans out there on the coast. You guys have been into some tremendous fish out there, and we always enjoy seeing your fantastic photos, so be sure to zap some over here for us, buddy.
All right, Joseph. Thank you so much. We'll let you get to work, buddy. He's Joseph Prince, an Outdoor Line Young Gun. Check out his website on, actually, you check out his page on Facebook, and your website is currently under construction. Is that right?
Yeah, my web designer, Don Melendez, is done with it this morning, so I'll have the link up today.
Well, let us know. We'll put a link on theoutdoorline.com.
Perfect. It's JP.
All right, Joseph, thank you so much. Look forward to a picture, buddy. We take care.
Take care. Thank you, guys.